We're going to look now at what we know or don't know about the hundreds of planes that fly across Ireland and through our airspace every day, specifically what they may be carrying and whether any or many of them are in fact transporting weapons and munitions for use in war. Now, it's 3 months since the Ditch website revealed details of a number of flights that had travelled through Irish airspace carrying weapons bound for Israel, yet there's little to no information about what exactly happened. Now, we did touch base with the Ditch this morning. They said they've uncovered 30 to 35 flights that have passed through Irish airspace carrying munitions of war without diplomatic clearance. They say the department has only acknowledged and confirmed 9 of those flights, although not all of those flights were bound for Israel. A small number were. Now, this week in the Dáil, Transport Minister Eamon Ryan conceded the investigation into cargo carried by the flights identified by the Ditch was taking longer than he hoped. And he also said that at present, there is no mechanism by which his department can know what cargo is on board a plane unless permission is sought by the relevant state or airline in advance for an exemption to carry munitions through Irish sovereign airspace. Well, to look at this in some detail, we're joined here in studio by Kevin Byrne, who's a former Lieutenant Colonel with the Irish Air Corps, and also by John Lannan, who has researched this area and has taken a keen interest in US military flights landing at Shannon Airport in particular. Kevin Byrne, thanks for coming in.
Hello, Colm. How are you?
What does the law say, and if the law has been followed, how much information should this state have about what's being carried through Irish airspace?
It's a very good question, but let me go back to a fundamental point, if I might, Colm. Irish sovereign airspace is what we actually own, and that extends upwards to no upper limit. It's out to space, basically. And it's that space above our sovereign land area, in other words, the 26 counties, not including Northern Ireland, and out to 12 miles from the coast. So we own the vertical bits above that, and we don't actually own any other parts. However, AirNav Ireland, the company dealing with air traffic services in and out and across parts of the Atlantic, has a huge chunk of airspace, and that's Irish-controlled airspace. But it's not sovereign airspace. That's part of the Atlantic, part of the Irish Sea, north and south of the country, and that kind of thing. And that's very useful from the point of view because 80% or more of air traffic going to Europe to and from the USA goes through the Irish controlled airspace, but not necessarily through the sovereign airspace.
So the sovereign airspace is the area, as you say, 12 miles out from the coast and above the land mass in Ireland, where if munitions were to be carried, that is where an exemption would have to be applied for and granted to allow an aircraft travel through that space. Is that
correct? And it was a very simple system when I was in the business years ago, and I presume it's the same now. There's no need to change as far as I know. A foreign country from Morocco to Holland to, you name the country, they would go to the embassy and apply to the Department of Foreign Affairs for a permission to cross or land in our territory. And they would be granted in most cases. I've only heard of 2 or 3 cases where they were not. However, move forward on that. No army, no air force, no navy has enough transport aircraft to do its own needs. And of course, the Americans, as we well know, they get commercial operators to do that. Indeed, we do it ourselves to get troops to and from places in Africa and to the Middle East and that kind of thing, because we don't have the aircraft. But if they're carrying munitions or, you know, material of war or spare parts or jets, aircraft, that kind of thing, they're supposed to put on the type of flight on the box for the flight plan. And every aircraft must file a flight plan before leaving its home territory to cross a border, to go through our airspace, for example. There's a slot there and there's a type of flight. And I'm wondering, are they putting in M for military if they're in support, for example, of the US Army, US Air Force or whoever? Are they putting in, you know, N for non-scheduled air transport operations? And that's a very fundamental thing. I know we used to do it. If we're getting commercial aircraft, we put in M for military and you get a different kind of service.
So before the flight takes off from the airport in the point of origin, a flight plan is filled out. And that flight plan designates whether or not it is for military use, and then does that indicate whether or not there are or are not munitions on board?
Not necessarily so. It could be carrying troops, as happens going through Shannon. It happened for years as they were supporting operations in Iraq and in you know, further afield, Afghanistan and so forth. I mean, I saw the troops myself.
So the added paperwork then, this exemption that would have to be applied for, would have to be done in addition to the flight plan, and that would give an indication. And if that wasn't done, would there be any indication of the cargo of any given flight if it's being carried?
You'll only know the cargo of an aircraft if you have the manifest, which is usually left in the point of departure in that regard. There's a further comment, which I've forgotten about and remembered last night. In the bottom of the flight plan, there's a thing called remarks. If it's carrying dangerous or hazardous cargo, either the people sending the aircraft out, that's the operations side of the airline, or the aircraft captain should note that it's in that little box. Hazardous and dangerous and or, you know.
Right, and this is vital because if a plane has to make an emergency landing in a sovereign area, the emergency services that would need to be deployed, for example, shouldn't just include the fire brigade. If there are munitions on board, the Army Ordnance Corps would need to be out there as well on site to make safe this plane.
And that's why it's been a traditional thing to do. However, perhaps you could say the civil company is doing this under contract to our American friends, for example, and I'm just picking an example now. Maybe they don't know it's to be done, or maybe they omit to do it. There's no way of us knowing really on the ground here in Ireland what happens, because I'm not aware of any military aircraft ever being examined by people from the police service or the customs or the military over a number of decades. Maybe it's been done, but if so, getting onto an aircraft with military markings is a bit...
Never.
I don't know. I have never heard of it. And if it did happen, it never made the news headlines, so to speak. But it's like going to the docks in Dublin and getting on a naval vessel. You need permission from the captain to get on board. It's not done normally without a good reason. Unless you had a reason to get on that aircraft, you generally don't do it. Be it commercial aircraft registered as a civil aircraft or a military aircraft, which frequently fly in.
And if a state was to build up, I suppose, a body of evidence that exemptions were not applied for, Ireland's airspace had been transgressed,
yes,
and the state became more cautious about what was travelling through its sovereign waters or sovereign territory, would that be sufficient justification to start mounting inspections then?
Hard to know. How friendly are we to the country concerned? Are they good allies of us? Are they not friendly in that regard? But of course, there have been cases where, because of the sensitivity of the cargo, aircraft have been diverted sort of south of Cork or outside our sovereign airspace. So that is not a problem. They're flying through.
The consideration of our friendship with any country or lack of friendship, that's, I suppose, a diplomatic consideration.
Yes, it is.
The legal consideration in terms of the obligation to declare or not to declare any inspection would be conducted in order for the state to satisfy itself that Irish law was not being broken.
You'd have to have a good reason, though, to get onto an aircraft, because you could have a diplomatic incident if you didn't have information. And if the information isn't being supplied to you, before the aircraft lands or flies through our sovereign airspace, how do you know?
OK, let's just stay with this, because we want to bring in John Lannan, and we've been largely talking there, John Lannan, as you heard, about civil aircraft, albeit civil aircraft being used by the military. But you have an interest in the ongoing use by Shannon Airport, which often comes up in this context as well, being used as a point of refueling for US aircraft.
Absolutely, and good afternoon. I'd have to say that right now, given the genocide in Gaza and supply of weapons from the US to Israel, the government needs to be doing all in its power to ensure we're not part of the supply chain, we're not supporting the genocide. The general rule here is that carriage of munitions of war, weapons and dangerous goods is prohibited in any civil aircraft that's landing at Shannon or landing anywhere else or going through Irish airspace. The exemptions can be granted, as was explained by the Minister for Transport. Now, in the first half of this year, up to the end of June, the Minister, who's Eamon Ryan, approved exemptions for 275 overflights and 166 aircraft that landed in Ireland. 163 of those were at Shannon, and they were granted almost exclusively for weapons being carried by US troops transiting through the airport. And indeed, not everyone is aware of the fact that this has been going on, I'd say, for over two decades now. Mm-hmm. Started with the Irish government's support for the very damaging US-led invasions of Iraq and Afghanistan. And we've had no proper debate about this, despite the widespread support for the concept of Irish neutrality. Over 3 million US troops have gone through Shannon in the last two decades.
All right. I'm sure the government would probably deny that they supported the invasion, which was in contravention of the UN Security Council. But what you're referring to there is the effective facilitation of the movement of troops through Shannon Airport, is it?
Indeed, yes. Yeah. It was the facilitation,
sure,
permitting the use of Shannon Airport by US military planes and US military contracted planes.
Can I ask you just then the other use of Shannon Airport, which has been monitored, and the suspicion over civil aircraft that were used not so much for the movement of arms but for the movement of people in connection with rendition? What evidence is there now that took place through Shannon Airport?
Yeah, this is part of the complete lack of oversight of what has been going on at Shannon over the last couple of decades. Shannon Airport was identified as a stopover point in the US government's extraordinary rendition program back in the mid-noughties between 2002-2008. Individuals suspected of terrorism were secretly apprehended, transferred to CIA prisons or black sites in other parts of the world, may have come through Shannon, and we know that the planes that were taking those people that were illegally picked up and put into those black sites were coming through the airport. This is, you know, an area that is, as I said, you know, happening without proper oversight by the government. You know, we have the evidence that the rendition planes came through Shannon. We have the evidence, and the Department of Transport themselves produced the figures to show that weapons being carried by US troops are coming through Shannon. We also know that US Air Force and Navy planes come through Shannon. That takes place regularly. And bizarrely, the government claims that they're not involved in military operations or exercises and are not carrying weapons,
all right,
which is quite inexplicable.
I suppose people would know your name from your work with Durris, which deals with refugees in Limerick, but is part, I suppose, of the broader concern that you have for how people are affected by war. But in terms of the definitive statement, we're in a peculiar situation where, I suppose, it can't be definitively stated that munitions are being transported through Shannon to, I suppose, supply other armies overseas or US operations overseas, because the inspections aren't being carried out. Would that be fair to say?
Absolutely, yes. And while we know that inspections can't be carried out in planes that fly through Irish airspace, they can be carried out on the planes that land at Shannon. And as Kevin said, you know, this hasn't been done. There's no evidence of this, and it's despite the authorities being asked repeatedly to check planes that are landing at Shannon. They haven't, to the best of my knowledge, done that. And in terms of the flights that are going through Ireland, as was over Ireland, as was explained already, you know, the manifests detail what's on the planes. If a news outlet can find out what's on them, then surely the Department of Transport can do it. Mm-hmm. And they do need to be particularly careful now. You know, this is a matter of great significance right now, given the manner in which US weapons and US military support are being used to commit the genocide in Gaza. The Minister, Eamon Ryan, should not be granting permission for any US weapons or military flights to pass through Shannon or through Irish airspace.
I just want to bring Kevin Byrne back in just for a final word of this. Just on the issue of inspections, Kevin
Indeed.
Byrne, we have had a ruling, an opinion by the International Court of Justice about the illegality of the occupation of the occupied territories in Palestine.
Indeed.
We have had an advisory opinion on to states who are signatories to the foundational charter of the court to do all in their power to prevent genocide. We have had at least prima facie evidence of Irish law being breached by flights through Irish airspace. It seems to be, at least there's the makings of a dossier there to support a more robust inspection regime by the government.
You could say that indeed, but how do you prove it is the question like that? What is the just cause? I'm remembering a story I heard very recently of the 67,000 155mm rounds for Israeli ammunition for the big guns they have, and they were flown from the States to Israel non-stop in C-17s, the large transport aircraft, which clearly avoided our airspace from that point of view. So they're aware of the situation like that. But
and what would the normal route be? Would they normally fly US, Ramstein in Germany and into the Middle East?
Yes, or they might, if they had to, they might land in the UK. There are a number of US Air Force bases there, but they're long-range aircraft. And we've had them in, by the way, for air shows, C-17s, that kind of thing, you know. But when they're sensitive, when they're doing military to military, they don't. They are well aware of what the conditions are and they don't get involved in that. It's the civil transport aircraft that I would be concerned with, you know. If we want to do it, we have to tell them that there's a no-go in our airspace from that point of view. I'm not sure that word has gone out. And if it does, it will remove the problem from our terrain for a short while, if nothing.
Okay. Eimear Higgins, just first of all, the Ditch website began to report on this. I think the first story was from was based on documents acquired by a Belgian NGO called Frais de Sachte, and it showed the manifest of the point of origin of a plane flying from Liège to the United States, there was evidence there. Has the government sought this documentation in its original form from either the Belgian government or from Frey de Sarthe?
My understanding is that the government is in touch with both the civilian carriers and also with the Belgian government on this. And if I could just pick up on a question raised there by Kevin to say, have we let the civilian aircrafts know of the situation? Yes, in August we issued a notice to airmen, an NOTM I think it's called, to remind civilian airlines of their obligations. Okay. So just to clarify that that did go out, absolutely.
Okay. So you have been in touch with the Belgian government as a government. Have you been in touch with this NGO to acquire these documents as well?
That I don't know, but I do understand that we have been in touch with the Belgian government.
Are you aware of what kind of response has been provided by the Belgian government in terms of providing the Irish government with information?
My understanding is we're awaiting that response and we expect to have that in imminently.
All right. And the Minister for Transport is not happy that the investigation is taking this long. Do we know why it's taking this long?
I don't personally know. I suppose the Minister himself, who's over this, may have more comments on that. But I suppose the law is very clear on this. Under Irish law, the carriage of munitions of war is prohibited on any civilian aircraft in Irish sovereign territory unless there's an exemption granted. And I do agree we need to look at ways to make sure that this is fully implemented. I mean, we're relying on countries and airlines behaving in a legal way. As Kevin has said, it's quite difficult if you don't have evidence to be able to board an aircraft. But ultimately, we do retain our right to do spot checks on aircrafts. That is something Ireland retains its right to do. Investigations, as you've said, Cullum, are ongoing. I can't predict the outcome.
The right
of them
is almost notional, though, isn't it? Both Kevin Byrne and John Lannan have said that the inspections have never been carried out. The right, it seems to be treated as an almost notional right that's never enforced.
The state retains its rights to do spot checks, and perhaps that's something we're going to have to look at further.
Mairead Farrell, your colleague Matt Carty was asking questions in the Dáil during the week of this the Minister for Transport, and was calling for inspections to be carried out. From what you've heard there, are you optimistic about any inspections being carried out anytime soon?
Well, just to be clear, we should have been carrying out inspections for the last 20 years. When it comes to Shannon Airport, I mean, I've been campaigning on this particular issue for 20 years. And, you know, one of the things that we had obviously seen was the Council of Europe, which had a report which looked into flights of extraordinary rendition and, you know, links with Shannon Airport. And that was like we were talking about the noughties at that point. I think that we absolutely should be, first of all, I actually don't think those kind of planes should be coming through. But the reality is we should be here and checking them, absolutely. We also have a bizarre situation now where we're relying on the ditch to tell us about what kind of illegal flights are passing over, rather than the situation whereby the Minister for Transport is front-footed in this issue. There should be absolutely no hand, act or part in the genocide of the people of Gaza, and the people of this state have been so clear, the Irish people have been so clear in their absolute horror at what's happening in Gaza. But at the same time, we're seeing flights crossing over our airspace with tons of explosives heading in that direction. We've also, for the last 20 years, seen the use of Shannon Airport. Anybody who's ever flown out of Shannon Airport will have seen it. And we had a huge protest last Saturday at Shannon Airport where people spoke with their feet. They marched and they said that enough is enough, that Shannon Airport should not be used in this way at all. And I just think it's good that we have the ditch that is doing this, but the reality is we shouldn't have to be relying on the ditch. We have a Minister for Transport and it's up to him to do his job in relation to this.
I just want to bring in Richard Boyd-Barrett on this. On those overflights, if an exemption is not applied for and if the state, and if, as Kevin Byrne outlined, somebody omits to fill in the relevant details, Ireland's in a bit of a bind, isn't it? It can't inspect what's going through its airspace.
Listen, if the ditch can find out that there was munitions going through Irish airspace, then the government can. Right. The point is the government doesn't want to. And I was in Shannon as well, and I've been in Shannon on multiple occasions protesting as the president of the Irish anti-war movement since the war in Iraq in 2003, where we've been calling for the government to inspect US military flights to find out what's on them, what weapons, what munitions are on them. And the government, successive governments, have refused to check those flights. They don't want to know. And now we have a situation where every single day men, women and children are being butchered by Israel. Butchered. That they're in the dock for genocide. Where they have been found to be illegally occupying Palestinian territory. They're invading Lebanon and they're pointing tanks at UNIFIL troops. And the Irish government has done nothing to establish if our airspace or our airports are being used to transport weapons to carry out these crimes. Okay. And they have allowed the US military outrageously to continue to use our airport, never check those planes or even just allow them there.
I just want to come back to Emer Higgins. The government position has kind of evolved on this, or at least there's been different answers given. I just want to, Emer Higgins, take you back to April 11th, 2024. Micheál Martin told the Dáil that no airport in Ireland or Irish sovereign airspace is being used to transport weapons to the conflict in the Middle East or any other war. That's pretty categorical for a situation where...
And that was based on the fact that we hadn't that we didn't process any exemptions.
But that's... The non-processing of exemptions and the non-carriage of weapons is different. But later on September 23rd, he said clearly now there have been quite a number of flights that have been in violation of sovereign airspace. Does the record of the Dáil need to be corrected?
I don't believe so, because what was said in April was based on the information available in terms of exemptions. I'm not sure, I don't have that full extract in front of me. I don't know if that full extract from the Dáil refers to the exemptions or not.
Well, it says, first, in 2023 and 2024 to date, no application have been received or exemption granted to permit the carriage of munitions of war on civilian aircraft flying to a point in Israel. Full stop. Second, no airport in Ireland or Irish sovereign airspace is being used to transport weapons to the conflict in the Middle East or any other war, full stop.
Okay, so I don't know, maybe you want to change a full stop to a comma to show that those two lines are interlinked,
perhaps. He's making a separate point. He says firstly and then he says secondly. They're very much discrete and separate points.
Listen, I think that's semantics, to be honest.
It's not semantics. It's a categoric genocide. Statement. It's a categoric statement in the context of a genocide, claiming that there is no weapons going through Irish airspace.
Based on the fact that we hadn't sought, received, or processed.
The government
any
has a hear no evil, see no evil approach because they don't want to challenge the United States for its complicity in this genocide.
We are relying.
We're relying on
countries. We're relying on companies behaving in a legal way, and we are relying on the fact that they have to,
but
should the therefore
Israel
legally
clearly
apply
isn't
for exemption.
In a legal way.
Yeah, but listen, we know that if munitions were
a lot of companies, a lot of companies operate in this jurisdiction, but the Revenue Commissioners doesn't just rely on them for full disclosure. It has a battalion of inspectors who go out and audit them. Now, why do we have a less judicious approach when it comes to tax, or a more judicious approach when it comes to tax returns, than we do to guarding Ireland's neutrality and the transport of munitions through the airspace?
Because I suppose we can check things if and when they land here. That is something I'm accepting we can and we should be doing. But if it's travelling through airspace, it's very difficult for us to ascertain what is on every plane travelling thousands of miles high in the sky, if they are not filling in the paperwork correctly. What we now have been told, and it's been suggested by media reports, that illegal flights took place. On the basis of that, the Irish government has engaged with the civilian airlines at the heart of this, and with the government of one of the countries at the heart of this as well, because we're examining this. What I don't want to do is predict
the
outcome.
But not examining it to the extent of actually getting on an airplane and looking in what's
at an airplane that doesn't stop here. No, we're not.
Okay, but and the
because
ones
it's
that
not
do,
stopping in Ireland.
But we're still taking on good faith the ones that do stop here, that they're not carrying something either.
Well, that is where I feel we need to be increasing spot checks. Absolutely, I feel we do need to be carrying
them. We've never done a spot check, ever.
Yeah, and that's what I just said. That's why I feel
years.
We should be doing them.
What
we can't do is prejudice an ongoing inquiry here, or an investigation, whatever phrase you want to put on it. The government is working with the airlines
How would gathering evidence prejudice an investigation?
Well, no, that's exactly what they're doing, is gathering evidence. I'm saying I don't want
to
prejudice an investigation by saying something about it.
All right.
That's my point.
We're going to look at the issue of migration that came up at the European Council meeting after this.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.